Brock Lesnar here with a recap of the games on 10/29/2019. And if you missed the amazing reveal yesterday that yes, Brock Lesnar is not a white man, then you want to watch yesterday's content for that shocking, shocking, shocking reveal that white men don't have to dominate fantasy basketball. You have people like me to deal with. We're coming for names. I'm just kidding. That's just a little humor on this morning. But here are the games we're going to be covering. So grab some popcorn, put on your comfy clothes, and join me. The Hawks took on the Miami Heat, and the Hawks took the L on this one. But the biggest L happened very early on. Trae Young suffered an ankle injury about 11 minutes in. Thankfully, it doesn't look like it's going to be a super serious ankle injury. It's still serious. He rolled it pretty nasty, but he should be back within the next few weeks. Fingers crossed. From a fantasy basketball perspective, John Collins had an amazing game. 30 points. He had a steal, a block, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and he made 5 three-pointers, hit 10 of his 17 shots, hit 5 of his 6 free throws. If this is a sign of things to come for John Collins, this guy is going to end up being a top 15 player this season. Just that ability to help you in every single category. He helped you in this game in every single of the 9 categories. He only had 1 turnover. So he's someone I'm very excited for. I have him on a few of my teams, banking on that sort of upside for him. Outside of that, the starters had an awful game. DeAndre Hunter, the minutes are good for him, but he had a really tough game. Outside of the 2 steals, he only had 4 points. It was just an ugly game. Alex Len got 4 blocks in this one, but he only played 18 minutes. I'm still avoiding him. Cam Reddish is another young player who may get some more opportunity while Trae Young is out with this injury. He's still figuring out how to be efficient in the NBA. He hasn't been very efficient at all. He missed all 5 of his 3-pointers. But if you remember, Trae Young himself started off last year with some inefficiency issues. But throwing these young guys out to the fire, they will either burn alive or they will come out better for it. And I could see that happening with some of these young guys on the Hawks. On the bench, you had DeAndre Bembry with 27 minutes. Outside of the 5 assists, 9 points, he only got 7 shot attempts. So I'm still observing from a distance, not rushing to pick him up. Jabari Parker got 22 minutes. He had 12 points, 2 steals. He's someone to keep an eye on because he can get hot in a hurry. Kevin Werter with Trae Young injured. Hopefully that minutes limit gets raised. It's around 20 minutes right now because he does have those guard skills. He can pass, and it would definitely help his production to take over for Trae Young while he's injured. For the Miami Heat, Bam Adebayo had 17 points, 10 rebounds with 2 steals and 3 blocks, plus 27. He hit 9 of his 10 free throws, had 32 minutes. Bam is unleashed, and he's rewarding anyone who drafted him. Like I told you guys before, he reminds me a lot of Pascal Siakam in that he could just help you in multiple categories while having really good field goal percentage and not terrible free throw percentage. He didn't hit any 3-pointers, but I don't care. He helped everywhere else. Jimmy Butler was back in this game, and he had 21 points with 3 steals, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. He drew 15 free throws and only had 11 shots, so very productive game for him. Myers Leonard got 24 minutes. The main takeaway was the 3 blocks and 9 rebounds, but he only had 2 shot attempts. Justice Winslow had a bad game with Jimmy Butler back. As far as scoring, he only had 2 points. He did get 2 steals, had 4 turnovers, which is more than the 3 assists that he had. We'll have to see if this is something that continues, if Jimmy Butler being back and Justice having the ball less in his hands affects his production. Don't move on after one game, but if we see this happening after 5 or 6 games, it may just be they're not compatible for both of them to be solid fantasy producers. Kendrick Nunn played 30 minutes. He had 17 points, but he did have to take 18 shots, and he should be allowed a bad shooting game with how scorching hot he's been to start the season. The team clearly still believes in him. He was plus 14. Off the bench, Goran Dragic scored 21 points on 12 shots. He hit 5 3-pointers, no steals and blocks, but he is proving that he wants that Sixth Man of the Year award. Tyler Hero had 29 points with 7 rebounds, no steals and blocks. He was plus 9. He had 16 free throws this game and made 7 of his 9 shots. The kid can score. If he's coming off the bench, I wouldn't expect production like this every single game, but he's going to have the occasional blow up. I still probably am avoiding him on 12-team leagues unless he's getting consistently minutes around the 30s and he's producing 15 to 16 points. Then I'd be a lot more interested in him. Kelly Olynyk only got 18 minutes in this game, missed all 5 shots that he took. So hopefully, as long as he's not affecting Bam's playing time, I'm good. Really nothing else on the bench for the Miami Heat stands out to me as worthy of discussion. On to the next game. Kristaps Porzingis of the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks took the W against the Denver Nuggets in this one. And they're having a great start to their season. They're at 3-1, only one loss. Porzingis, though, had a rough game. Only 4 of 14 shooting. He missed 7 of his 8 three-pointers. Really helped him with the 14 rebounds and 2 blocks. But only had 10 points. He was minus 3. Dorian Finney-Smith, he's been getting some starts. He hasn't really been doing much with them. But he got 24 minutes, almost. And he's a guy that can get you three-pointers, some steals, and some blocks sporadically. So if he continues getting starts and minutes, I would consider him in a deeper format. Dwight Powell is back. So if he's on your waiver wire, I would probably consider picking him up. It's very telling that he started coming off of the injury. It shows the belief they have in him. And once those minutes get back around the 25 to 30-minute range, I think he's going to have a very strong season. Hopefully, he doesn't have any lingering effects from the injury that was keeping him out. Luka Doncic probably had his worst game of the season at this point. He had 12 points on 12 shot attempts. He only made 3 of those. Missed 5 of his 6 three-pointers. Was 5 of 8 from the free throw line. Had 4 turnovers. 5 assists. The 2 steals is nice, but he was minus 17 while he was out there. Seth Curry got a start as well. He only had 10 points, hit 2 of his 6 three-pointers, had 1 steal. Really nothing too exciting there. Maxi Kleber still got 30 minutes, even though he didn't get a start, and he had a very productive stat line. 14 points, 12 shots. He had a steal and 3 blocks. As long as they're still finding minutes for him, he might be worthy of looking at if you're desperate for big man production while still getting some threes. Dellen Wright played 24 minutes, and he had 6 assists, 12 points. He had a steal, didn't hit any three-pointers. He was plus 14. Tim Hardaway Jr. had a solid game. He had 14 points on 9 shots. He hit 4 of his 6 three-pointers. He was plus 23. So we may be seeing more minutes for him. Maybe some of those minutes going to Dorian Finney-Smith are going to go to Tim Hardaway Jr. We will see. Or he could just be a bench scorer, which seems to be his ideal role. Justin Jackson made all 4 shots that he took and really didn't do anything else. He was minus 3. And Jalen Brunson played 15 minutes, but in those 15 minutes he had 11 points and 8 assists. I really want to see more minutes for him. The guy's just very productive. And if he's getting 30 minutes, he's going to be on a lot of teams, including 12-team leagues. So far, he's my go-to end-of-the-bench point guard in deeper formats. But if they start him like they did last week, or they just start giving him 25 to 30 minutes, I want him on my squad. All right, on to the Denver Nuggets. Will Barton had 19 points and 11 rebounds. He made 8 of his 16 shots, hit 2 three-pointers, and got 36 minutes this game. He was plus 15. Paul Millsap had probably his best game of the season with 23 points and 8 rebounds. Did not get any steals and blocks or blocks, but he hit 4 three-pointers. Jokic got a low-end triple-double with 10 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Those came with 3 steals and 4 turnovers. He only took 8 shots and hit no three-pointers. He's not been having the best fantasy season so far, but that's going to pick up. This is a guy that allegedly plays himself into shape as the season goes on, so I wouldn't worry too much. Gary Harris took 10 three-pointers and hit 4, hit 6 of his 15 shots. He had 5 points, 4 rebounds, and a steal. He was plus 12. He's a guy I've been talking up as having upside. The efficiency isn't there yet, but once the efficiency's here, he's doing all the other stuff that made me a huge fan. He just helps you in many categories, but he does have to get that efficiency up. The good thing is the minutes are there. He played almost 34 minutes, and he had 15 shot attempts. So he had more shot attempts than Jamal Murray, which is very telling. And his minutes seem a lot more consistent than the other starters for the Nuggets. Jamal Murray had 16 points, 6 rebounds, one assist with no steals and blocks. He missed all of the three-pointers he took, so not the greatest of fantasy stat lines. Jeremy Grant only got 16 minutes in this one, and his minutes are so sporadic that unless there's an injury to like a Paul Millsap, I'm probably moving on from Jeremy Grant in most formats in which I have him. He's a player I talked up a lot, but if the minutes aren't there, he's just simply not going to produce. Really, as I mentioned before, nothing else excites me on this bench because the team is too deep. Malik Beasley, I do have him in the 20-team league I'm in, and he had a pretty regular, boring game. Hopefully, he's getting more minutes, but again, with the amount of talent in the starting lineup and on the bench, the minutes are going to fluctuate for most of these guys from game to game. All right, on to the next game. And the Los Angeles Lakers beat up on the Memphis Grizzlies in a 6-6 fashion. Anthony Davis showing why he was the number one overall pick for many, many people, despite the injury concerns. Let's start with Memphis. So Jay Crowder, he got 27 minutes. He was minus 11, 9 points, no steals and blocks. Missed 5 of his 6 three-point attempts. Still not really messing with that guy. Jaren Jackson Jr. only got 18 minutes in this game. He had 5 personal fouls, so I'm assuming the two are strongly correlated. He is a high foul guy. He fouls a whole lot, and that's something he has to improve if he wants to stay on the court to bring back the value of the early round pick that you used to pick him up. Jonas Valanciunas got 22 minutes. His minutes continue to creep up slowly, and he got the start. He had 14 points, 11 rebounds, no steals or blocks, but it's really nice that he could get a double-double in 22 minutes. He only needs 25 minutes to be an elite fantasy basketball player, so hopefully he keeps getting those minutes. John Morant had 16 points. He had 4 turnovers, 2 steals, only 2 assists, but he shot 6 of 13. He was plus 9. Jaren Jackson Jr. was plus 11. So they were helping their team in the limited minutes that they played. Dylan Brooks got 22 minutes, but outside of the 8 points and 4 assists, didn't do anything that excites me. On the Grizzlies bench, Marko Gudurić got 23 minutes, had 0 points, and that's the amount of interest I have in him, is 0 at this point. Grayson Allen had 13 points, 4 turnovers and 2 steals. He missed 10 of his 14 shot attempts, so I'm going to leave him on the waiver wire where he's at. Brandon Clark got 18 minutes, had 10 points, a steal and a block. Still a low-end pickup for now unless those minutes get closer to the 25 to 30 range. Kyle Anderson he's a guy that when he's getting minutes, he can be very productive. He does have some injury concerns. This game, he only got those 17 minutes and only scored 2 points. Got you no steals and blocks. Without those steals and blocks and assists, he's just not really worth the trouble. Tyus Jones had 16 minutes in this one, and outside of the 4 points and 2 assists. Again, nothing really exciting happening on this bench. Solomon Hill, he had 8 points, but with only 13 minutes. I just don't like to gamble on guys that don't get playing time. For the Lakers, as I mentioned before, Anthony Davis with 40 points, 20 rebounds, 2 blocks. Didn't hit any three-pointers, but he took 27 free throws and hit 26 of them, which is absurd. He made 7 of his 17 shot attempts, so he scored 40 points on 17 shot attempts. That's a lot of free throws. LeBron James had 23 points, 8 assists. Those came with 6 turnovers, no steals. He had a block. A pretty good stat line, I would say. Still not very fantasy-friendly in certain aspects. JaVale McGee got 29 minutes in this one. He had 10 points, 9 rebounds, and a block. He was plus 7. Avery Bradley had 12 points on 9 shot attempts. He had 2 steals. If he can somehow capture the magic of the old Avery Bradley from the Boston Celtics days, that was an early round fantasy producer, that would be cool, but it's highly unlikely, so I wouldn't bank on it. Danny Green only got 19 minutes in this one. He had 8 points, hit 2 three-pointers, and had a steal. Didn't do much else. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope finally looking like an NBA player. He had 13 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block. He had 28 minutes. He seems to be stuck in a timeshare with Danny Green. So I'm not excited to have either one of those players. Then Quinn Cook got 22 minutes. He was plus 25 in those minutes. I'm assuming that was garbage time due to the blowout nature of this game. I'm going to leave him on that bench. He's very similar to Troy Daniels in that he can get hot one game and then do nothing the next. And Dwight Howard seems to be in a value-killing timeshare with JaVale McGee because this game he only had 19 minutes. Only had 2 points. He did have a steal and 2 blocks. Also 5 fouls, which could have affected his playing time. I would keep watching and seeing in the next week or two who's getting the bulk of those minutes. If it's fluctuating game to game, that just seems very inconsistent. One of them has to win out, and the one that's getting the minutes, I'll strongly give them fantasy value consideration on my team. Outside of that, the bench produced a whole lot of nothing. The real takeaway was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope having himself a really nice game, but it came at the expense of Danny Green. That's a value-killing timeshare as well. I'm not interested in either at the moment. So, all right, that was all 3 games. I will be making a video for later today discussing transaction trends, potential pickups. So with this only being 3 games, it shouldn't be a whole lot different from yesterday. But we're going to look at those trends and see if we can find any value to help you with your team. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to this channel. You can click the bottom right-hand corner. You can visit www.baroklesnerhoops.com. Click the bell notification to be alerted to this new content. I'm doing my best to do it daily for you, and I've been very consistent so far. Your support helps me to continue doing this. And leave your comments below. Let me know how your team is doing, how my advice has helped you or hasn't helped you. I'm open to all of this. Thank you so much for watching. Until next time, which will be later today, this is Barack Lesnar, Barack Lesnar Hoops. I am not a white man. Guys, this is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops, and I wanted to go over the transactional trends for today, October 30th, 2019. As I mentioned previously, I am using Yahoo to do this research. To me, it's the most effective, and I just want to give you some pointers that even if you don't watch these daily, you can pluck little pieces off and use them on your own teams. So just like yesterday, Rashawn Holmes is the main guy that's flying off of waiver wires right now. He's been picked up almost 9,000 times today. Yesterday, we can see that too. 24,000, so almost 30,000 pickups in the last 2 days. Over 30,000 pickups. The secret shot on this guy. It looks like the Kings are very desperate, incredibly desperate to get production. They're off to a bad start. Their big free agent coach, Luke Walton, has not done a great job so far. So if Rashawn Holmes is helping the team, I expect this to be a somewhat permanent move, fingers crossed. It's still a concern because Dwayne Dedmon's still on the team, and it's hard to know if they're going to fluctuate the minutes, hopefully not. But there's also injuries to Harry Giles and to Marvin Bagley, which could affect his long-term playing time. So you have to take him with those things in consideration. But the upside he presents, even in like 25 minutes per game, high field goal percentage, can get a ton of blocks. Reminds me a lot of Thomas Bryant last year, as I previously mentioned. Dennis Schroeder's flying off of waiver wires as well. Just based on the last two games that he had. This last game, he had 34 minutes in a very close game against the Houston Rockets. So if he's getting 25 to 30 minutes every single night, he's shown he can produce. He had back-to-back 22-point games. Can get assists. He was getting new steals. And his turnovers were pretty nice compared to how many assists he was getting you. So he's another guy who might be on your waiver wire who you would consider picking up. Bobby Portis, that big man rotation in New York is pretty shaky. He might get 20 minutes the next game and Mitchell Robinson get 30. It's really hard to know. And he's a guy that as a big man doesn't help you much with steals and blocks. And has very similar overlapping skills with Julius Randle. So he's not someone I'm rushing to pick up personally. Luke Kennard. If you have J.J. Redick, J.J. Redick's been struggling. It might make sense to drop him for Luke Kennard and see if Luke Kennard can do the things you were expecting from J.J. Redick. His playing time could be affected by Blake Griffin coming back. But if there's ever a Blake Griffin trade or Derrick Rose gets injured, it looks like Luke Kennard is next on that pecking order to take over that production. Dwight Howard, he was dropped and picked up. And the reason you're seeing that level of drops and pickups, he had a really strong game on the 27th. And then last game, he only got 19 minutes and didn't do much. It was a better game for JaVale McGee. It looks like they're going to alternate which player they play. They have very overlapping skill sets and you can't really play them together. I'm assuming one will win out the battle in the long run, but right now it's kind of unclear. So that leaves them trading off good games with bad games. So I expect to see them dropped and picked up often this season. PJ Tucker is a great fantasy basketball player because he gets you a high level of threes. He's getting 1.7 threes, 1.5 steals, and about half a block per game. That's the kind of production you expect from Danny Green. Except Danny Green's inconsistent and doesn't have the playing time PJ Tucker has. PJ Tucker has had at least 33 minutes every game, and he's just helping you in a variety of ways. He may not have the star power appeal, but from a fantasy basketball perspective, he's a great help to your team. You definitely want to pick him up. Christian Wood is who I'm identifying as a player. So let me break it down like this. In fantasy basketball, think of a herd. Fantasy basketball is about following where the herd goes. Now, where you reach the sweet spot is when you get to a place before the majority of the herd. So in a way, you're leading the herd. You start being the trendsetter as opposed to just following the trends. Christian Wood is a person that I believe a trendsetter has their eyes on. Because at any point, if he's consistently getting over 20 minutes a game, he can put up numbers, as you can see here, in a win against Indiana. He had 3 3-pointers, 19 points, 12 rebounds, and a block in 21 minutes, and they won the game. Blake Griffin is injury prone. He's injured right now. And this Detroit team doesn't have an extensive big man rotation. So at any point, if Christian Wood's getting 25 minutes per game, he can produce and people are going to rush to pick him up. So in a deeper format, 20 teams, 18 teams, I would probably pick him up right now. In a shallower format, I would want to see a few more games of consistent playing time over 20 minutes. But the moment they ever decide to give this guy 25 to 30 minutes, he's going to fly off of waiver wire. So be ahead of the herd. Speaking of the herd, this tool is a great way of noticing what any part of the herd is doing, because even 500 pickups may be worthy of you looking at, why is this guy getting attention all of a sudden? The worst thing you can have is just no attention whatsoever. But if you have some degree, well, I guess that's not true, because if you have a superstar, no one's adding them or dropping them, they won't appear here. But I'm talking about role players, guys who aren't star players, guys who aren't staples of fantasy basketball. You want to notice if a guy's getting attention all of a sudden, there may be a story that's attached to, so then go look up that story. Did a coach make a comment? Was there an injury on the team and now all of a sudden this guy has found minutes? You want to be ahead of those stories because that will allow you to make educated decisions before other people can make them. If you wait too long to make your moves, you're going to be taken advantage of, because there's going to be a guy who has his finger on the pulse, and the moment it looks things are going a certain direction, they'll be there before you. So it's up to you if you want to be competitive to be there before them. That's why watching these videos, I'm that kind of person. I keep my finger on the pulse and I share what I find with you. That's the value I bring with these videos. So let me go over a few more guys. Again, not too different from yesterday. Jay Crowder is being dropped after he was picked up a lot. Again, just not a very exciting player, even with the minutes he's getting. He kills your field goal percentage. He used to be a stud in fantasy basketball, not so much anymore. Devontae Graham was being picked up again. So people dropped him after the October 27th performance. People really hyped him up after the October 25th performance. And now he had a good performance and people picked him up again. If you're picking up what I'm saying, wait, if any of these guys, wait for them to have a bad game. A lot of people will just give up after one game. Don't go for the hype right away. There'll be opportunities to pick up guys even if they've been snatched up the moment they don't perform as expected. Wesley Matthews has had at least 28 minutes in all three games. He's shooting over 50% in all three games. He's hitting three-pointers. He's getting steals in every game. He's really helping the Bucks right now, and he should continue to get consistent minutes. So if you really are in need of a shooting guard, small forward eligible player that can hit three-pointers and get you a few steals and score in the teens, Wesley Matthews is likely available on your waiver wire. Give him a look. Frank Kaminsky had a rough game shooting-wise, only shot 27%. He did have a block and 2 3-pointers. People may have dropped him some, mostly pickups from what I'm seeing here. So people still believe in him enough that even though with that shooting performance, they're still holding on. Josh Hart is being picked up because he continues to have a strong season. He still got 31 minutes this last game, so his minutes are over 30. He had 2 3-pointers. He had a steal and a block. He's just helping you in multiple categories. I have him on a lot of my teams, and I'm going to ride him till the wheels fall off. Don't make anything out of that comment. I know what you're thinking. Please, this is a family-friendly channel, sir. Or ma'am. Bryn Forbes is another player that's not owned in a whole lot of leagues, but he's helping you. He's scoring over 16 points. He's getting you a 3.5 per game. Decent enough percentages for a guy getting you 3-pointers. He's not going to help you with your steals and blocks, but he has really low turnovers. If you're in desperate need of a point guard at the end of a 12-team league or maybe in a 14-team league or deeper, and he's on the waiver wire, you definitely want to pick him up. Out of all these other guys, you see Jeremy Grant being dropped. I would move on. Kelly Olynyk, I know a few of you guys asked me about him, and I which isn't very committal. I'm not very committal to Kelly Olynyk. And as you can see here, 13 minutes followed by 18 minutes. The minutes are very sporadic with the big man rotation and Eric Spoelstra's system. So I don't have much excitement for Kelly Olynyk. He'll go on streaks where he'll have three really strong games and you'll be like, I need him. And then he'll follow that up with one of these 15-minute, zero-point games, and then you'll drop him right away. I'd rather just avoid him right now. Tyler Hero had a great game, even though Jimmy Butler's back. He had 29 points. He hit 3 3-pointers. So he's somebody that may be on your waiver wire after the expectations for him kind of took a hit at the beginning of the season with him being pretty pedestrian his first three games. At the same time, if he has a bad game following this one, he'll probably be dropped again, so that'll be another entry point for you. Willie Cauley-Stein is another guy I'm identifying as a potential stud. He's probable for Wednesday, all right? So he's likely to play. And if he does play, he's on a Warriors team that's looking for a big man with his skill set. They're looking for the size. They're looking for the athleticism that he brings. They're really missing this right now. Draymond Green's an amazing defender, but he can't be their best perimeter defender. He can't be their best center. There's too much on his plate right now. So Willie Cauley-Stein will allow Draymond Green to free roam and play cornerback and really cause havoc defensively on the other team's offense. I think Willie Cauley-Stein is going to make the Warriors look really strong. That's what they're missing right now. Steph Curry and D'Lo are just not strong defenders from the perimeter, so Draymond Green is really being stretched thin. Willie Cauley-Stein and eventually Kevon Looney returning is going to give them size, is going to give them toughness, and really they complement each other well. With the floor stretching you'll find with the Warriors, Willie Cauley-Stein is going to have a lot of space to operate down low, and I see all the other pieces falling into place. So I would pick him up now, throw him in your injury reserve, wait for him to come back, see how he does. If he doesn't do well after a few games, just go ahead and toss him. But this is how you become very strong. Take advantage of the opportunity now. Don't let him come back and then he has a great game and everyone's rushing to pick him up. You lead the herd. Davis Bertans is someone else to look at. I gave up on him in a few leagues because of his start. But now, with 32 minutes that he got the last game, he hit 5 3-pointers. If he's getting minutes in the 30s consistently, he's definitely somebody that you want to give a look. Dwight Powell is someone else that you can pick up. He just came back from his injury. He only played 14 minutes, but it's very telling that he started right away. The team sees him as their center. There's no competition there. Cleaver's going to be playing off the bench. Pick him up now because the moment he starts getting hot, it's going to be too late. So get ahead of the herd on this one. Pick him up. If you could pick up him, Willie Cauley-Stein, even if you only have two decent centers right now, if they both produce at the potential they have of producing, suddenly you're not weak in that category. This is how you start retooling your team for long-term success. Markelle Fultz is probably somebody else that I've really been looking at. He's having a strong season by his standards. He's shooting with confidence. He's hitting some three-pointers. He's hit a three-pointer in two games now. He was a former first overall pick. If he can bounce back from some of the issues that he was having his first two seasons, he could be flying off waiver wire sooner rather than later. He hasn't really had that blow-up game yet, but the moment he drops a 20-point game with a few assists, people are going to lunge. So if you need a point guard and you want one with upside, he's the one that I would consider right now. And as far as everything else here, some quick observations. Aaron Baines is being picked up. If you need a center in the deeper league, he's someone I would look at. Belishka is someone I would look at in a deeper format as well. Matisse Thybulle, he's being picked up because he had 4 steals and 2 blocks. He only got 20 minutes, but those minutes could creep up at any point, and once the game starts slowing down for him, it's very telling that he's already getting huge steals and blocks numbers. I think he has the potential to be a Robert Covington, something Joel Embiid himself has said. All right, so those are my main observations for today. Devontae Graham, I want to point him out because he's being picked up again after he was dropped a ton after he struggled his third game. But last game with 14 points and 12 assists, the herd rushed back. So what I'm saying here is don't give up anything of value to pick up these high upside players, because the moment they have a bad game, you'll see them on a lot of waiver wires. So wait until they have a bad game and don't lose faith in them. If you lose faith like everyone else does, then you don't get to take advantage of this 14 and 12 that he followed up that bad game with. Bad games, buy when the streets are red with blood, okay? That's opposite to what a lot of people want to do. They want to buy when it's known that the guy's good. Buy them when they're having a down period. Buy low, sell high. That is the key. All right, until tomorrow's video, thank you so much for watching. This is Barack Lesnar. See you later. Oh, yeah, subscribe and all that. That helps. Bye.